and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. Good morning and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio program of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. And if you have been listening to the program for the last number of weeks, you'll know that we are looking at Article 24 of the Belgian Confession regarding man's sanctification and good works. And this morning we want to pick up on the second paragraph we left off last Lord's Day, which states very clearly that nevertheless, our good works, there are no of count towards our justification. And we mentioned that it is very important that you get this straight. Our justification is completely what we call monergistic. It's one working. It's the working of Jesus Christ alone. The only way that you can be right with the Father, the only way that you can be reconciled to God, is that if God reconciles you. God is the reconciler. God is the offended party, and God is the one who comes and He reconciles us to Himself. We have no ability to reconcile ourselves to God. The only way that you can be reconciled to God, as Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5, is that God reconciles you to Himself, and He does that by the work of Jesus Christ, by the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can stand in God's presence. That's the only way that we can be declared holy and righteous and forgiven and cleansed of all of our works, all of our sinful deeds, our guilt, our consequences of our sin, is by the work of Jesus Christ, His merits and His merits alone. All of His holy works imputed to us, which make us right before the Father. And so that must be very clear regarding the life of the Christian. Our good works are of no account towards our justification. For it is by faith in Christ that we are justified. And you don't have faith prior to you being justified. In other words, what I mean by that is it's not in you. You don't have faith to wump up. You have to have faith to be justified. But my comment in reference to this is that you don't have faith before you're justified. You in and of yourself do not have faith that you have created or that you simply have believed. This is, the Catechism has said, right off, or the Confession, right off the beginning, is a God-wrought faith. God works this faith in your heart. This is true faith. And then He declares you just. But it's a God-worked faith, not a man-worked faith. Not you simply believing in Jesus in your own terms. But, as the Puritans used to be fond of saying, that you close with Christ in all of His offices. His prophet, His priest, and king. You close with Him. He is your prophet. He is your priest. He is your king. He is your savior. He is your only hope. He is your rock and your refuge, and you run to Him. For it is by faith that in Christ that we are justified, even before we do good works. Because works are simply the fruit of true faith. Works flow out of true faith. As the Confession says here, otherwise they could not be good works. Now that's a clear statement, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Can the unbeliever do good works?
No. A person does not do good works until they've been justified.
But, you know, the Catechism speaks of good works in 91. And there are three distinct things that must be present for a work to be good. Number one, it must be...
proceed from...
from true faith.
True faith, yeah.
Secondly, it must be done according to the standard of God's law. Thirdly, it must be done to the glory of God. The unbeliever doesn't have true faith, so there it can't be a good work. The unbeliever does not desire to do anything according to the standard of God's law. He doesn't want God's law in his thinking. The unbeliever hates God, and he does not want to bring any glory to God. He wants to bring glory from himself. So those three elements are missing in the life of the unbeliever, and therefore he cannot do good works that are acceptable in the sight of God. He does not have a mediator. Jesus Christ is the mediator. The unbeliever does not have the mediator, Jesus. He does not have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so that needs to be recognized immediately in the life. Now, that doesn't mean that the unbeliever doesn't do works in this life that can be beneficial to us. I had mentioned before that I had some surgeries. Well, your dentist, is he a believer or an unbeliever?
Not sure.
Yeah. And, he did something that was beneficial to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he's a believer, praise God. If he's not, it still was a beneficial to you. Well, I had a surgeon that was an unbeliever, and what he did was beneficial to me, but it was no account before God. He was just simply heaping up wrath in the day of wrath because he wasn't doing what he did to the glory of God. Who gave him breath to breathe? Who gave him the talents to do the surgery? Who gave him the ability to go in and do the things intricately that he does? I mean, think of sewing up veins and nerves and ligaments and all that other stuff. Man, good night. How does he do that kind of stuff? Well, God gives him the talents and the abilities. So good works cannot be good unless there is a heart of faith. Faith then produces good works. Faith motivates unto good works. And as we had mentioned, James chapter 2, that faith without works is dead. In other words, true faith produces good works, and that's biblical faith. Why? Because we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're not saved by our good works, we're saved unto good works. We're saved by the work of Jesus Christ alone. He says, any more than a tree, the fruit of a tree can be good before the tree itself is good. And that comes from Jesus, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Jesus speak about the trees. What does a good tree do, Dan?
Bears good fruit.
What about a bad tree?
Bears bad fruit or no fruit at all.
So are you saying that every tree is known by the fruit that it bears?
I think that's what it says.
And it's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you know an apple tree?
It's going to give apples.
How about pears?
It should bear pears.
Have you ever seen an apple tree bear pears?
No.
Or oranges?
No.
You know, the tree is clear what kind of a tree it is by the fruit that it bears. And so it is with people. That those who are engrafted into Christ, their works are going to be evident. And the Catechism even speaks, by their godly walk, they might win others also to Jesus Christ. So, therefore, as we go on here, we do good works, but not to merit by them, for what can we merit? What does God owe us? Think about that bad tree. What does God owe the bad tree?
Ah, gotcha.
Damnation.
All right.
Damnation,
yes,
huh?
You're right.
And so, you know, what are the wages of sin? Is death.
Right.
And so when God metes out those wages to the unbeliever who will cry out, I want justice, because of total depravity, he's deceived himself into thinking that what he does is pleasing to God. And God gives him justice. He gives him exactly what he deserves. And because the unbeliever is deceived in his mind, he thinks he deserves good things from God, and he gets damnation, not knowing and understanding the gospel. And so... therefore, we do good works, but not to merit by them. What can we merit? Nay, we are indebted to God for the good works that we do. And why is that? Why are we indebted to God for the good works that we do?
Because it's Christ's work on the cross, and we're clothed with his righteousness.
And because of Christ's work on the cross, who comes to take up residence within us?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Now, who made it motivates us into good works?
The Holy Spirit.
Who leads us to the teaching of Scripture and shines the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ to us?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Who illumines the revelation of God, which is inscripturated in the Word, to our understanding?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Who's the one who puts a new song in our heart?
The Holy Spirit.
We can go on, you know. And so
I thought I was going to get the next one, Dan.
I was ready to go.
Yeah. And so it's
easy ones.
We are indebted to God for the good works that we do, and not He to us. And I think of Romans 11: For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To God be the glory. And that's the doxology we sing, isn't it? To God be the glory, great things He has done. Praise to Him is what we sing. Since, the confession goes on, since it is He who worketh in us both to will and to work of His good pleasure. Greg, I hate to use this term, but I don't know what else to use. Do you feel the work of God in your life?
Do I feel the work of God in my life?
I think you know what I'm saying. I mean, there's a sensing of the Spirit of God's work. I mean, because He says, it's He who works in us to will and to work of His good pleasure. Now, you know what I'm trying to, or what I'm referring to. It's hard to put your finger on this because of the fact that as the Belgian Confession says, that the work of the Holy Spirit is ineffable. Yes. It's like unexplainable.
Yeah, well, I'm cautious because you hear so many people going to worship and saying, I felt the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
And so that's where my cautiousness in replying. But yes, there is that desire to read and to learn, and you feel that working in you.
Right, and that's something when you were dead in sin and trespasses, that never happened.
Right.
And now you know that the Spirit of God that's at work in you, but you can't explain that. And as the canons of Dort speak in this manner, He sweetly and softly bends our wills to do the will of God. He doesn't treat us like stocks and blocks, but He sweetly and softly bends that will, the recalcitrant heart. And more, I mean, the three aspects of salvation: we have been saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved. We have been saved from the guilt and the consequences of our sin. We are being saved from the power of sin in our lives now as Christians. And in the future, we shall be saved from the presence of sin. And so that's what we're experiencing now. It's God who is working in us to will and to work of His good pleasure.
I think, too, it's kind of like our conscience. So you've mentioned before, when the sinner is sinning and doing something he ought not be doing, he's not saying to himself, "Boy, this is wrong. I really know I'm not. This is wrong. I shouldn't be doing it." They don't even grapple with that. Whereas I think it is different with the Christian. I mean, they know what they're doing is wrong, and then they're at least struggling with those thoughts.
Yeah. Let us therefore attend to what is written. When ye shall have done all these things that are commanded of you, say, "We are unprofitable servants. We have only done which our duty was to do." And you find that in Luke 17:10. In the meantime, we do not deny that God rewards good works, but it is through His grace that He crowns His gifts. So, as believers, the phraseology of let go and let God is not found in the Bible. What we find in the Scripture is simply trust God and get going. That's the Christian life. Well, until next time, have a good week. God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencercus.com. There you will find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.